Chapter 7. Southeast of Luther Crater. They were in the no-man's land between Osiris and Aaron half an hour later, when the comm chimed again. Callie sat in the passenger seat while Waqid drove. Jake had decided to take a quick nap on one of the couches, his cap pulled low over his eyes.
"Osiris to Anubis."
"Go ahead, hon," said Waqid.
"New reports," Izmi replied. "It's not a dust storm."
"What?"
"One of the scientists at Luna has been studying the images. She's positive there's something moving on the surface, kicking up dust."
Kelly sat up in her chair.
"A couple of trikes or a buggy or something?"
"She's not sure. She's trying to get one of the high-res satellites moved. It should let us see through the dust clouds."
"Who is it?" asked Waqid. "Gridley?"
"Paxton."
Callie didn't recognize either of the names, but she watched Waqid's expression as he mulled over the news.
"Paxton probably knows what she's talking about," he said.
"And it's moving faster," added Izmi.
"Of course it is," murmured Callie.
Waqid reached up and kneaded the back of his head.
"How much faster?"
"A lot. The lead edge is doing this weird ripple," said Izmi. "It just leaps ahead in little spurts and bounds."
A new set of images appeared on the screen.
"You got a new ETA for us?"
"Hard to say. 50 minutes, maybe less."
Callie cleared her throat.
"Is it going to catch up with Mendez?"
"Probably,"
said Izmi.
"Mendez stopped moving."
"He what?"
"He stopped moving about 10 minutes ago."
20 minutes later, a warning pinged on the console and Waqid straightened up. Callie looked from the console to her boss.
"That him?"
"Yeah." He skimmed a few instruments and pointed out the window.
"About 400 meters that way."
His grip shifted on the yoke and Anubis veered off toward the signal. The buggy rolled across 2 small craters, climbed over a small wrinkle ridge, and they saw the trike sitting on a small plane. A man slumped behind the controls. They had 2 trikes at Osiris, but Callie hadn't ridden either of them. It was a simple vehicle, not much larger than a table or desk. An oversized spun wire wheel in the front, 2 in the back. The driver's seat rested on top of the electric motor, and a solar cell that doubled as a sunscreen stretched over the driver. Waqid guided Anubis up until it was just a few meters away. The figure in the spacesuit never budged. 5 minutes later, Callie, Jake, and Waqid approached the trike on foot. Anubis crept along behind them with Mikhail at the controls. This close, Callie could see the spacesuit had the markings and black stripes of Aaron. The helmet and trim were dark silver, and the way the figure slumped, she could see the fluid Celtic text circling the patch on its shoulder. It was a slightly newer suit than the one she wore. The helmet had a wider visor for increased field of vision. The fingers of the gloves were thinner and better articulated. 2 equipment bags, also in Aaron black, had been wedged into the small cargo space behind the driver. The man in the spacesuit hadn't moved once as they gathered around his trike. His arms hung at his sides. When his hands had dropped from the controls, the dead man's switch had killed the trike's motor. Jake peered into the frosted visor, then heaved the body upright in the seat to get more sunlight inside the helmet. A thin coat of ice crystals covered the young man's face. His eyes had gone bloodshot from the pressure drop before they froze.
"That him?" Jake asked Callie.
"You think it might be someone else?"
"Just trying to get a confirmation."
She joined him in front of Mendez.
"Yeah, that's him."
Waqid examined the suit's chest and thighs. He lifted the dead man's arm. It moved like frozen meat. He bounced to the other side of the trike, lifted the other arm, and sighed.
"Here it is."
A thin line of ice had built up on the dead man's side, going from his waist up into his armpit. A lump of frozen air, a little smaller than a baseball, nestled in the folds between his upper arm and torso. Wagid pried at it with his gauntlet, and part of the lump broke away, revealing a wide gash in the suit's material.
"Looks like he got snagged on something," the boss said, shaking his head inside his helmet. "Started off small down low, but turned into a big gash up here. His suit might not even have registered the pressure drop at first. The sealant probably got most of it, but not enough."
"But he was driving for hours," said Callie. "He must have had alarms going off in his suit the whole time. Why didn't he call for help?"
"He was scared," said Jake. He and Wagid traded a look through their visors.
"So why not call for help?" Callie repeated.
Jake lowered himself next to the trike. He broke away some more ice to get a better look at the tear in the suit. The sealant looked like wads of bright green chewing gum wedged in the ortho fabric and underlayers.
"Don't think he got snagged on something. Something cut him. That's way too clean to be a rip. Too big, too. Who'd keep tearing their suit once the alarm started going off?"
Wagid looked down at him.
"What are you saying?"
Jake stood up.
"Just saying this doesn't look like an accident. Guy was so scared he was more concerned with getting away than he was about his suit leaking air."
Callie looked between them.
"You think somebody tried to kill him?"
Inside his helmet, Jake tipped his chin down at the body.
"Just saying it doesn't look like an accident."
Mikhail's voice popped in their helmets.
"There's storm on the horizon, boss."
Callie turned and found the hazy gray line to the north. It stretched like a cresting wave between two low mountains. The clouds rippled and rolled in the sunlight, threatening to crash down on her and the others.
"There's something you don't see every day," murmured Jake. "Okay," Wagid said. "Okay, let's get him and his gear up on the roof rack. We can deal with all this back at Osiris. We'll set the beacon and get out of here."
Callie stepped to the back of the trike as Jake set a gauntleted hand on the front tire.
"Why don't I just drive it back? Batteries must have a good charge."
He waved at the clean, shining solar cell.
"Because I'm getting really weirded out," said their boss, "and I don't like the idea of us splitting up. Worse, damn straight. We stick together until we find out what the hell's going on. Beacon'll run for 3 weeks once night falls. We'll get back out here before then."
Callie pulled one of the bags out of the cargo space and tossed it near Jake's boots. She dragged out the other one, slung it over her shoulder, and they plodded back over to Anubis. She climbed up to the buggy's roof, and Jake flung the bags up to her. Once she had them strapped down, they rejoined Wagid at the trike. He'd pulled Mendez out of the seat, and the dead man lay on his side in the lunar dust.
"Callie, help me roll him over and get his other arm. Jake, grab the legs."
"Why do I get stuck with the legs? Just pick him up."
They rolled the body onto its chest and felt a faint vibration as the dead man's head swung forward and hit his visor. Jake lifted the boots and they worked their way back to the buggy, Mendez hanging face down between them. Callie glanced at Anubis over her shoulder.
"How are we going to get him up onto the roof?"
"Could run the winch over the top," said Jake. "Or just grab some rope from the locker. I can haul him up without too much trouble, especially if someone keeps him steady."
Wagid stopped and looked up at Callie.
"What?"
She looked back.
"What do you mean, what?"
"What are you pulling for?"
her boss asked.
"I didn't pull. What are you..."
Mendez's arm twisted in Callie's grip, and her fingers flinched away. He thrashed his arms and legs. All three caretakers leaped back, and he dropped to the ground.
"Allah!"
shouted Wagid.
"He's got air!"
shouted Callie.
"He's still got air!"
"No way!" said Jake. "No fucking way!"
Mendez fumbled on the ground like a newborn. His hand reached out to paw at Callie's foot. Wagid dropped to one knee.
"Mikhail," he called, "can you tie us into his suit?"
"Pulling it up."
He placed his hand on the crawling man's shoulder.
Mendez, he said, it's okay. You're going to be okay. Let's get you into the buggy.
Boss,
barked Mikhail's voice.
There's no telemetry from his suit. It's not working.
What do you mean it's not working?
It's not on, Mikhail said. His suit is completely shut down.
It can't be, said Callie.
Mendez pulled a knee up under himself and lunged to his feet. He swayed for a moment and then turned to Callie, letting the sun light up his face. It still hung slack, the frozen eyes staring blankly past her to the ground.
Oh, Jesus,
she said. He took a few staggering steps forward and raised his arms. Callie stepped back and tripped over a rock. The lunar surface spun in her visor and then slammed into her backpack. For a moment she was helpless, like a turtle flipped over and left to die. She swallowed and felt her breathing slow down. Mendez stumbled another few paces, reached for her, and vanished as Jake slammed his shoulder into the dead man's backpack. Callie rolled to the side, looked up, and saw Mendez spin once, twice, three times before he crashed down into a jagged pile of rocks a few meters away. Wagid grabbed her hand and pulled her up.
You okay?
What the hell just happened?
She looked over at Mendez's body. It struggled back to its feet. Wagid pushed and pulled at her shoulders, turning her left and right.
Suit looks good, he said. You're okay.
Okay? Shouted Jake. There's a dead man walking around over there, boss.
He can't be dead, said Wagid. There's got to be some air left in his suit, just enough left for him to...
Callie pointed at Mendez. The rocks had shattered his visor, leaving him exposed to the moon's vacuum. A few Lexan fragments had lodged in the dead man's face. One had opened a bloodless wound in his cheek. Another had cut his frozen left eye neatly in half. Mendez didn't seem to notice. He staggered toward them again.
I think you should all come back inside, said Mikhail.
I agree, said Callie.
Wagid nodded once inside his helmet.
Yeah.
They headed for Anubis with the dead man stumbling after them. Callie was halfway onto the rear platform when she heard Jake grunt. She held onto one side of the ladder and swung around. Mendez had grabbed Jake's backpack, and the two of them stumbled backwards. Wagid grabbed a pry bar from the locker and slammed it against the dead man's arm. When that didn't do anything, he sent two more blows into the side of the ruined helmet. Mendez staggered away from Jake. Wagid dropped the bar, leaped, and shoved. Mendez tumbled away, rolling over three times in the dust. He came to rest and immediately struggled back to his feet. Callie tried to fit her suit into the bracket. Jake was halfway up the short ladder. Wagid took a few bounding steps and jumped as hard as he could. His spacesuit sailed up onto the platform, but his boots caught on the edge. He slammed face first onto the grating just as Jake reached the platform.
Go! Yelled Wagid. Help her get inside!
Jake grabbed Callie by the shoulders and shoved her suit back into the bracket. He yanked the lever and she felt the rush of air behind her as the suit opened up. She ducked her head and dragged herself into Anubis. The hatch snapped shut behind her. The light over the next port lit up and she heard Jake and Wagid through the speakers.
You okay, boss?
Yeah. I just want to finish pissing myself before I get out of the suit.
Fuck that. Wet your pants inside, away from that thing.
The hatch opened and Jake's arms reached out to grab the rails. Callie stepped to help him out and he waved her away, sliding out in one smooth motion. The far hatch opened and Callie took two quick steps to help Wagid out. The port system wasn't friendly to taller caretakers. The panel clanged shut and the trio pushed each other into the main cabin. A dull thud echoed through the buggy. A vibration transferred through the frame until it could become noise, the sound of something running into the edge of the rear platform. Mikhail glared at them.
What the fuck is going on out there?
Wish I knew, said Wagid. How long until the dust storm hits?
Not long.
Something tickled Callie's nose. Stress, fear, or both had given someone in the buggy a pungent body odor. She wondered if it was her. Wagid took a breath and looked at each of them.
Okay, he said. Calmly now. What are we going to do about that?
He nodded at the airlock as another impact sounded from outside.
What are we going to do about it? Echoed Jake. Back the buggy over it 4 or 5 times until it's a sticky puddle, that's what I think.
Sounds good to me, said Mikhail.
Callie sniffed the air again, definitely getting worse, and definitely not stress sweat.
Do you guys smell...
Oh, shit. Behind Jake, one of the spider plants withered before her eyes. The leaves blackened and curled even as the stems and branches shriveled. A few of the rotting leaves broke apart and splattered on the floor. She looked over her shoulder and saw the other one in the same state.
What the fuck?
Said Jake as another vibration echoed through the buggy. In less than a minute, both plants were dead. Their soggy remains hung limp over the edges of their pots. They dried out and became tan, gnarled sticks.
We need to get out of here, said Callie.
No argument from me, said Wagid, dropping into the passenger seat. Mikhail, turn us around and get us the hell out of here.
Mikhail gave a sharp nod as he grabbed the yoke. Anubis swung around in a tight circle. Callie examined the plants.
Should we bag these up or something? What if they're, I don't know, infectious or something?
They're infectious. We're past fucked, Jake said.
It's probably not a bad idea, said Wagid. Someone's going to want to study them.
Then someone can come and bag them, said Jake.
Don't be such a wuss, said Callie, trying to sound confident.
You deal with dead things all the time.
They're usually not trying to attack me.
Anubis lurched to a halt and they swayed in the cabin. Mikhail stared out the windshield, his eyes wide.
Mother of God,
he whispered. The buggy had turned and now Mendez stood a few meters in front of them. He'd shattered most of his front teeth, slamming himself against the rear platform. The shards of his visor gleamed in the sunlight, glossy white against his ice-blue face. He came at Anubis with slow strides.
Don't worry, Wagid told Mikhail. He doesn't seem... It doesn't seem too smart. I don't think it can hurt us in here.
Mikhail shook his head. He closed his eyes and whispered something that sounded a lot like a prayer. He repeated it again and again. Callie leaned against the back of the driver's seat.
Oh, my God.
On the far side of the plane, a little more than a kilometer away, hundreds of dead people marched across the surface of the moon. Men in dark suits lurched ahead. Women in simple yet elegant dresses threw their legs forward, one after another. Children of all sizes staggered between the adults, some looking old and frail, others young and solid. Silk and jewelry gleamed and flashed in the sunlight, as did the pearls of ice in their eye sockets. As promised, in all the Discorp commercials and documents, burial on the moon had kept them intact. The frozen bodies lumbered forward on stiff legs. A few still had their arms crossed over their chests. They bounced against each other like stones in an avalanche, changing directions slightly but never halting. They kicked up dust as they stumbled and dragged their feet. Clouds billowed behind them, hiding their full numbers. The dead covered another 100 meters while the living stared through the windshield. The ground trembled under countless footsteps. The caretakers could feel the vibrations coming up through the floor of the buggy.
Mother fucker, whispered Jake.
Mikhail, said Callie. She kept her voice flat and precise. Get us back to Osiris.
the driver kept praying. Wagid reached over and slapped the back of his head. Mikhail opened his eyes.
Now, Wagid snapped. Back to Osiris.
Right,
said Mikhail.
Right.
He stared out the window. A moment later, he started whispering his prayers again.
Jake, said Callie, help me.
They dragged Mikhail from the driver's seat, and Wagid took the controls. The motors hummed back to life, and Anubis continued its turn. Their view swung away from the dead and the dust-filled sky, and the empty lunar landscape filled the windshield. Wagid pushed on the yoke, and the buggy began to accelerate back up to its top speed. It had never seemed so damned slow before today. Callie and Jake strapped Mikhail to the couch and came back to the front.
So, she said, now what?
We get home, said Wagid. First priority is getting us home.
Jake dropped into the passenger seat. A few moments at the console gave them a view behind them on one of the screens. They watched the dead as they dropped farther and farther behind.
I'd guess they're doing about 5 or 6 kilometers an hour, Jake said. They keep coming this way, they'll reach Osiris just after midnight.
And we should be back there just after noon 30, said Wagid.
No one spoke as Anubis rolled across the barren plains. The figures on the screen vanished, with only the gray clouds of dust to mark their presence. Jake kneaded his cap in his hands. Mikhail still muttered prayers in the back. Callie looked at her boss.
What do we do when we get back?
We've got about 2 hours to figure that out, said Wagid.